Draft language containing proposed changes to Magnuson-Stevens has been working its way through the U.S. House of Representatives, but the political lines became clearer when Florida's Republican Senator Marco Rubio introduced his version of the bill on September 16th. The top priority for Rubio is giving the regional management councils more flexibility in setting timelines for rebuilding depleted fish stocks. This is exactly what Linda Benkin, the director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, was hoping not to hear.
There's quite a pushback right now against the rebuilding timelines and catch limits. You start rebuilding stocks means you have to catch less fish generally, and that's a painful process.
Benkin says she wasn't expecting a Senate bill so soon, but Rubio's parallels some language she's seen in the House. The Fishing Community Coalition is worried about a reauthorization that merely reaffirms the status quo, or worse, moves backward. The Magnuson-Stevens Act was first passed in 1976 and wasn't considered very effective for its first two decades, but substantial amendments in 1996 and 2006 reinforced the law's commitment to sustainability. Benkin would like to stay the course.
To protect the gains that we've made in the last two reauthorizations for the resource, and then also to look for ways to support policy that keeps a healthy resource and also provides access for people who live in traditional fishing communities to those resources.
Benkin served three terms on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, one of eight regional councils established under Magnuson-Stevens. While there were always politics and tension over the allocation of fish, one thing remained unchanged.
In this region, in the North Pacific, the council never sets annual catch limits for any stocks above what the scientists recommend to be optimal levels, be maximum levels, that can be taken without undermining the health of the stock. That's not the case in other parts of the country.
We definitely have some out here with our Georgia's Bank and Gulf of Maine cod stocks that are a mess.
Tom Dempsey is the policy director of the Cape Cod Commercial Fishermen's Alliance.
And they're collapsing right in front of us. And we need to improve how we manage those stocks to give ourselves a chance of rebuilding to a point where we can have a sustainable fishery.
Dempsey says fisheries for scallop and lobster are doing well in his region, but groundfish, the flagship of the historic New England fisheries, are on the verge of becoming commercially extinct. As recently as 30 years ago, there were 60 boats fishing for cod throughout the summer out of Chatham, Massachusetts, where Dempsey lives. Today, there are two part-time boats. Dempsey also holds a seat on the New England Fisheries Management Council. He says there's a tendency to distrust science in his area, and unlike Alaska, no annual stock assessment. Management decisions are sometimes being made on biological information that is several years old.
That is a huge frustration of ours. It's one of the central things we want to get done in this reauthorization process. I say it all the time, but when you're managing fish, you really only have to answer two questions, and that's how many fish are in the water and how many fish are you taking out.
Senator Rubio's bill includes provisions to increase funding for stock assessments and data collection, but the track record of success of Magnuson-Stevens outside of Alaska is not stellar. Matthew Felling, spokesperson for Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, says his boss holds some sway over her Florida colleague.
She is someone that he relies on for guidance and for knowledge. Senator Begich, of course, has a role because he works closely with Senator Rubio on the Oceans Subcommittee, but as all three of them are members of the Oceans Caucus, and Murkowski has been able to influence and inform Rubio's understanding of our waters, of our fishing industry, and of our success story that we have in Alaska.
Felling says that with the Senate likely to go into recess until mid-November, there's no way any reauthorization will happen in this Congress. He thinks the extra time will produce a more thoughtful bill.
Just last month, Senator Murkowski said publicly at an event in the Kenai Peninsula that the most important priority to MSA reauthorization is to not just rush it and get it over with and do it soon, but to do it right, dot the I's, cross the T's, and make sure that it gets done with all possible stakeholders having their voices heard.
Those stakeholders, according to Senator Rubio's office, include some of the producers, processors, and retailers trying to make the most of limited stocks. And although giving the councils flexibility to depart from strict conservation guidelines may become the most politically charged idea in the reauthorization process, Alpha's Linda Benkin says it doesn't have to be. She says flexibility, as in the use of new data collection tools like cameras rather than onboard observers, can actually be a good thing.
That kind of flexibility doesn't compromise the resource, but it is really important to small boats and to fishing communities.
In addition to the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association and the Cape Cod Commercial Fishermen's Alliance, the Fishing Communities Coalition includes the Alaska Marine Conservation Council, the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association, and the Gulf of Mexico Reef Fish Shareholders Alliance. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.